This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, Chaverim. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua, Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Chaf, page 120. The Mishnah said, if two sister-in-laws, two women married to two brothers, each one said, my husband died, my husband died. So we say, Shprinsa, good for you that your husband died. We're very happy about that. That can only allow you to marry, but you're not believed regarding your brother's wife, because regarding your brother's wife, we say he's still alive. And the other woman married to the other brother says her husband died. So each one is believed regarding themselves, but not believed regarding her sister-in-law. So they're free to marry. The only thing is there's potentially a brother-in-law for them to do yibum to, about which they don't have valid testimony. And the Mishnah said they're each oster on account of the other man. The Mishnah then said that if there's another brother in both of these cases. In other words, each woman says, my husband died. Okay, so we allow each one to potentially do yibum to, there's another living, there are two other brothers here. And they do yibum. And then these two brothers die, so they cannot marry, the Tanakhama says, because we still have no credible testimony regarding the first two men. But Rabbi Elazar says, since they are mutter to the Yevamin to marry, they are now mutter to everyone. And the Gemara had a shaila, what is the reason of Rabbi Elazar? Is the reason of Rabbi Elazar because Rabbi Elazar holds a tzara could testify about her counterpart, that a tzara is believed, a tzara has ne'manos, which would be the strangest thing in the world, because why on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin did the Mishnah say that you're not believed regarding a tzara? Well, that's Tosis's kasha. Taimalari, Amayloi Poli Rabbi Elazar Bidach Pirka Gabayah Kol Neman Lidach Chutz Mechamoisa VeKachash of Tzarasa VeYivimta. If Rabbi Elazar, okay, that's Tosis's kasha, and the basic answer is very simple. Of course, a counterpart is not believed to say, "Okay, lady, your husband died. Go get married," because there she's testifying straight up about the woman's husband. But here she's saying something about herself, and that agav orcha has ramifications for the counterpart that Rabbi Elazar said you would be believed about. The question then would be, well, why didn't he express his opinion in the Reisha, where the two women do not marry anybody else? So the truth is, according to this Tzad, then in the Reisha also they would be believed. Or the Gemara says, Oy Dilma, Mishum Dehiloy Mekalkala Nafsha. It's not because she's believed regarding her friend. She's not believed regarding her friend. She's not believed to say regarding the other woman that, my husband died, you're free to go Yibam. She's not believed. Maybe she's trying to mess up the other woman. But in this case, she herself is going and getting married. She's marrying, she's doing Yibam. She's saying that her husband died. So if I'm following my edus, then I'm believed regarding you. Normally, meaning the shaila is, do I have credibility for you straight up? Or do I only have credibility for you because I'm willing myself to rely on my testimony? So obviously I'm not trying to mess you up because I myself am relying on it. That's the shaila. Lamai nafkamina. What would the nafkamina be? The nafkamina would be, can the counterpart rely on the testimony of the other woman if the other woman is not doing anything to rely on her own testimony? That would be the nafkamina. If she has straight up believability, then it's irrelevant whether the woman follows her own testimony. If she only has believability because she herself is following it, then if she's not following it, then the other woman cannot rely on it either. It says Gemara, la'an subi l'tzar mekami dida, for the counterpart to get married before she does. If straight up one woman is believed for her friend, even if the woman who testifies is not getting married. Min savina lei letzara, the tzara could get married. But he amrit mishum dehiloi mekalkala nafsha, if it's because, well, obviously I should be believed for you, I wouldn't want to mess myself up. In siv man savina lei letzara. So if she herself is getting married, we'll let the tzara get married. Eloi in siv loi man savina la. I mean, the case is like this. A similar case where a man is married to two women, and woman one says, hey, your husband died. She said, really? My husband died? Well, that means your husband died. Yeah. I'm going to get married soon. Go ahead. Don't wait for me. I'll catch up with you. So if one sara has believability for the other, so regardless of the fact that he says, you know, you go get married, I'll reserve the hole next week, then she should be believed. But if it's only because she herself is relying on it, but if she hasn't relied on it yet, then there's no credibility here. That's the shaila. Mai. So the Gemara says, Tashma, we have a braisa. Rebbe Elazar Oimer, Hoyal v'hutru liyavamin, hutru l'chal adam. Rebbe Elazar says, since she is mutter to the Yavama, so she's mutter to every person. Meaning, since she could go get married to a Yavam, so now the tzara is permitted. Not, it doesn't say that since woman A does yibum, but it just says since she can do yibum, so then we say that she's believed for the other. If the whole reason is okay, I'm sorry. Let me say this better. This is an explanation of the end of our Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says, Nisyabmu, if the two women do Yibam to another man, and the Yivamin died. So Rabbi Lezer says, since they're Mutter Li Yivamin, this is actually a direct quote from the Mishnah, right? These are the exact words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in the end, Hoyal v'hutru liyavamin, hutru l'chal adam. Reb Lezer says, once they became mutter to the Yavamin, because they married the Yavamin, so now they are mutter to everyone. Says the Gemara, Y'amrit bishlama dihiloy mekalkala nafsha, if the only reason why counterparts are believed is because she's not going to mess herself up, hainu, that's the meaning of the Mishnah, that fits in the chi insav min savina lei. When she gets married, we allow the other woman to get married. But eliyamer mishum detzar mida chaverta. But if it's straight up that you have believability regarding the counterpart, afa gav deloy insav nami, then even if you didn't marry the yavamin, in other words, why does the sefer of the Mishnah say, oh, because this woman went ahead and relied on her own testimony and married the yavam, so that shows the counterpart that it's a valid testimony that this man must have died. What does it have to do with the fact that woman A relied on it? If a tzara has straight up believability, it's irrelevant, well, whether woman A relied on it. Elashma mina taima de Rebbe Lazar mishum de insiv hu v'loy mekalkal nafshe. It's not because you have straight up believability, it's because she got married and she's not going to mess herself up. Says the Gemara, that's not conclusive at all. The fact that the Mishnah says the reason why the women are believed is because they actually got married, that's not indicative that the reason why you're allowed to get married is because you relied on it. Maybe Rebbe Lezer is saying it lefi the shita of the Chachamim that say women counterparts don't have believability. So Rebbe Lezer is saying is, you rabbis, you say they don't have believability, but at least you should acknowledge that in this case, since each one is relying on their own testimony, they should have believability. But I personally hold that even if they don't rely on it, they still have believability because tzaras are believed one on the other. Says the Gemara, l'divrayam ka'amar lahu. Rabbi Lezer l'devrayim karmelu. Rabbi Lezer is saying it according to this opinion of the Chachamim. L'didi, according to me, tsar midal chaverta. One tsar could testify about the friend. V'yafa gavdolei insiv, and even though she didn't get married mitzvina la, the other woman could get married. Elu d'chubet, according to you, oidi limias, at least agreed to me, de'hechad insiv mitzvina la, that at least where one woman got married, so if Lady A is willing to rely on her own testimony that her husband died, and she is willing to get married, even though if she's lying, she'll never be able to live with her husband again, shouldn't that be sufficient to allow the other woman not to be zakuk liyibam? Why shouldn't he let me kalkal nafsha? Shouldn't we rely on the fact that the first woman won't want to mess herself up? I mean, isn't that enough indication that she's probably telling the truth because she herself relied on it? The rabbanon say no. Women could be so vindicative, so vicious that she'll say Thomas nafsha and plishtim. The fact he. Maybe what she's doing is, I'll mess you up even though I'm messing myself up. So the fact, in other words, the Rabbanan would say back, the fact that Lady A is actually relying on it is not indicative at all that she's telling the truth. Tashma, come in here. Ha'isha shalcha hiu ba'alam dina sayam. A woman, this we had on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Was it a Mishnah? Yeah. The Mishnah on Kuf Yud Ches. A woman that her and her husband went to Medina Sayam, Uba V'Amra, and she came and she said, Mace Bali, my husband died. Tina say, she could marry, but Tituk Subas, and she takes Siksuba, the Tsaras Asur, and the Tsaras Asur. Okay? Rabbi Lezer Oimer, Rabbi Lezer says, Hal V'Hutrahi, if she is relying on her testimony, but the lashon is, since she can get married, hutra nami tsarasa, the tsar is also permitted. So that indicates, even if she didn't rely on it yet, the mere fact that she can rely on it means that she has straight up believability regarding the tsara. Says the Gemara, no, don't read that way. Emahol v'hutra v'nises. Say, since she is permitted and she did get married, that's why the tzara is permitted. So now the Gemara has a gevaldige kasha. Why is, and this is Dafka talking about not our Mishnah's case, but the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Ches. If the pshat is, if you're really worried that a woman would according to Rabbi Lezer, that the reason why she's believed is because clearly she's telling the truth because she herself got married. And therefore, basically, a woman said, me and my husband, right, there are two wives and one husband, then one of the wives went on vacation with the guy and she comes back, look, I went on vacation with the husband, and he got eaten by the sharks. So go get married. And so he said, oh, Avi, and she herself got married. So obviously she's telling the truth. Why obviously she's telling the truth? Maybe the husband divorced her, but she still and she wants to mess up the other woman. The other one was never divorced. So she comes like, oh, my husband died. Really? He didn't die. He divorced her. And she's not worried he's going to come back and she'll be usher to him because she's not usher to him because she got divorced. Says, maybe she went out with the get. Maybe she's trying to mess up the tzara. Meaning, according to Rabbi Lezer, where we're concerned that she's taka going to mess up her counterpart. And the indication that she's not is the fact that she herself is relying on it. Well, how's that indicative at all? Maybe she got a get. So Gemara says, you know, Einachanami. She's only believed if she went ahead and married a kohen. She married a kohen since she obviously didn't get a get. Says Gemara, "Eid the insav li Yisrael hachanam yach." My skin the insav l'kani. She married a kayin. So I would say, the fact that she married a kohen means she didn't give a get. If she's willing to mess up another woman, why wouldn't she marry a kohen? I mean, it's not like the biggest deal in the world. She didn't tell him. What's going to happen? That, I mean, now they're going to make her get divorced. Yeah, but so what? She's afraid that she doesn't want to get messed up. So she's not getting messed up because she never committed adultery. Elamai, a minor, living with a kohen? Yeah. A woman like that would do that, no? Okay, that's what I was bothered by. Let's go further. Now, from here, the end of the Masechta is really Ayam and Oira. We're going to talk about recognizing dead bodies. For all you doctors out there, did you deal with cadavers in medical school? Yes. Who were they? You know, yeah. John Doe? I mean, what are these guys' names?
They have a whole system where the family can even be thanked by the people with the, like, you don't know who the person is, but you could write to them that thank you for donating.
John. Thank you for giving us John.
Yeah, they do that with Bone.
I mean, does the guy have facial features? I mean,
Can you tell how old they were? That's very easy.
I mean, is he dead at least?
Very.
Okay. How dead? How old is he? How dead?
How dead? Usually they're within a month or so.
Within a month?
Yeah. I mean, they could last longer. They inject the body.
Within shloshim.
They can keep it for a long time. They have these fluids.
Formaldehyde. Uh-huh. Well, now we're talking about how do you recognize a dead body? What do Edom need to see? What parts of the body are distinguishable? Says the Mishnah, Ein mi'idin ela al partsuf panim imachoitim. You can only testify about the features of the face. We'll see that means the cheeks and the forehead, imachoitim, with the nose. Even if there are other distinguishing characters on the body, uva kelav and the kelim, ein me'idin, you cannot testify. Okay, fine. So you need to testify on the face and the nose. Now, there's a big machloikus here between Rashi and Taisus. Oh, today we have DNA analysis. Well, that's a major subject, right? Could you rely on DNA analysis for paternity or for many shailas in halacha? There's a big machloikus Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam over here. What if the rest of the body? I mean, are we talking about the headless horseman here? I mean, what are we talking about? Is there a body here that's perhaps recognizable? Toisu says v'amar Rabbeinu Tam dahinu davka kishein sham ela partsof aval kol gufay shalem afilu ein kam padachas v'choytim nikaru heitav yidei siman egov. Says Toisu, the whole shaila here is when it's just the head. Just the head, you need nose, forehead, cheeks. But if you have the rest of the body, you could testify through the rest of the body. Rashi says absolutely not. Not good enough the rest of the body. Only the facial features. Now, she can only testify when the death occurs. It's not enough to say the guy is about to die. Even if you see the guy has a fatal wound, can't testify that he died. Maybe he got medical attention. Fitzolov. Interesting. Tzolov usually always means crucifixion. Out of here. Tzolov, even if you see him hanging, you see a lion eating him. In all these cases, we're afraid, well, maybe he's hanging, maybe he fell off at the last second. And eating him, maybe the animal found better prey the last second. Ein me'idin el ad gimel yamim. You can only testify within 3 days of death. After that, there's distortion of the features and you can't testify anymore. Which is a problem, right? Because most of the time, very often, we find a body in the water or in the forest. After 3 days, you can't testify. Again, now testifying here means based on like a regular simon. But when there's incontrovertible simonim, then even after 3 days, you could testify. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Oimer, Loi kol ha'adam, loi kol ha'magim, loi kol ha'shaven. Not all people, this is not an ironclad rule, 3 days. Depends if the guy's fat or thin. You know, the distortion of the features depend on his weight, or depends if it's hot or cold, or v'loy kol ha'shoy shoven. It depends on different times. We'll see what this means. Tanu Rabbanan, padachas, a forehead, v'loy parts of panim, without facial features. Parts of panim, facial v'loy padachas, ein me'idin. Ad shu shneyem, you need forehead, you need cheeks, you need nose. Again, according to Rashi, body doesn't help. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it does help. Amar Abai said, where do we get this from? You need forehead and facial features. Amar Abai Vitimra of Kahana. Micro, what does the pasuk mean? Hakaras Pneyam Ansabam. Not their face testified. The recognition, face recognition, right? I think, you know, when you come through passport control, if you could do not facial recognition, maybe eyes. They have like something in the eye. But facial recognition. So facial means the nose and the cheeks, and recognition is the forehead. Abba bar Marsa, to have Abba bar Menumi, Arba the son of Marsa, who is Arba the son of Menumi, have a maski bay de bay Reish Galus Sazuzi. They lent money. How do they translate maski? They owed money. Have a maski bay de beirish klusazuzi. I see kira. They brought wax. Davak bivavlaisa. They attached it in a worn out garment. Beapusa on the forehead. Chalaf kamayo. They passed it in front of them. Veloy bishakruhu. What?
He did it to hide his features, his forehead, so that they wouldn't recognize him.
So they made a wax kind of covering of their face to hide their facial features.
That's it.
They made a wax mask. They made a fake face. Wow.
He did. He just stick the rag to his head so that the rag would stay on his head, so that covered.
The point of this Gemara is to show that the forehead is critical to recognition.
So 1 second, let me just get this straight, because I don't know why I didn't see this. Abba Bar Marsa owed money to the Reish Galusa. So he wanted to get out of this?
Right.
He couldn't pay up right at the moment. So he basically took hot wax, he stuck it to his forehead, and what is Veloy Bishakrua? They couldn't tell who he was?
Well, him covering his forehead,
meaning just to cover the forehead, they didn't know who he was. Even though the mouth, the nose, the cheeks are all the same, just the forehead difference hid them up. So, v'loy bashakrua, what does the word bashakrua mean?
Recognize him.
In the Hagoy Svetziyunim, I don't know why I didn't see these lines when I was preparing it, but in the Hagoyis V'Tziyunim, he brings that the words in Tehillim that we say in Ladavid, Ulevaker Behechaloi, are Ulevashkara, to visit. So V'loi B'Shakrua, they didn't come to collect, they didn't visit him. They didn't know who he was. Okay. Vayter in the Gemara. The Mishnah said that you can't testify only on the facial features, even though he has simanim on his body and on his clothing. Says Gemara, well, you can't rely on simanim. That means simanim are not conclusive, even biblically. Lememra, the simanim lav d'oraisa. You're going to say simanim are not conclusive d'oraisa. You can't rely on them biblically, because there's a shaila in Eila Metzios. What's the pshat in simanim? Is simanim a raya midaraisa, and that's why you could extract money? Or really, it's not a raya midaraisa, only midrabanon, but we have to use simanim, otherwise there's no way to retrieve a lost object. So the Gemara is going to ask and bring a proof that we know simanim are midaraisa. Basically from a case where a guy lost a get, and it was found in immediate proximity of one of his clothing, one of his items, and you could get the get back, the shliach could get the get back based on the simanim he gives. Or a mini matzu kasher bekis, if you found a get tied up to his pocket, his wallet, of arniki, or his money pouch, of a tabas, or his ring, aishanim saben kelav, or it's among his clothing, afil uzman maruba kasher, then you could, the shliach could get this get back even after a long amount of time. So normally, if you lose a get, you could just retrieve it immediately, because we're not concerned, we're not worried that in it says Yankel Tishprinsa. So, you know, how many Yankels and Shprinsas are there? But after a long amount of time, we have to be concerned. But if the guy gives a simon for his items, we could rely on the simon. So this is a raya that even for d'oraisa we rely on simanim, because otherwise how could we rely on simanim for get? Says Gemara, Amar Abaye. Abaye said, no, it's not a raya we rely on simanim. There are various opinions. Loi kasha, ha Reb Lezer ben Mahavoy, ha Rabbanon. The Rabbanon in our Mishnah holds simanim are not reliable midaraisa. Reb Lezer ben Mahavai says simanim are d'oraisa. The Tanya we learned in a braisa, ein meiden ala shuma. You can't testify based on a mole that somebody died. Reb Lezer ben Mahavai, Amar meiden. That's the shaila. So we already have an established machloikis tanoim, whether simanim or d'oraisa or rabbanan. So Gemara brings various other ways to skin this, that they're not arguing whether simanim or d'oraisa or rabbanan. Amar Rava, Rava said, "Dekuli yam simanim d'oraisa." Everyone holds simanim or d'oraisa. But hacha b'shuma mitsuya b'ben giloi kamiflugi. Here, where they're arguing about whether a mole, maybe really everyone holds simanim is d'oraisa. The thing is, over here, if somebody is born on the same astrological sign as you, then you both might have the same beauty mark under the left cheekbone, approximately 3.5 millimeters off of the jaw. The question is whether you have a similar mole by someone who's born in the same sign as you. One opinion holds that it is common to have a same mole if another person is born at the same signs, astrological signs as you. The other opinion would hold that's not likely. Or you could say, Hacha b'shuma asuya l'shtanis lacha misika miflugi. Everyone holds simanim d'oraisa. But the question is, you didn't see the simon before the guy died, you only saw it after. So maybe before he died it was a completely different mole and it only changed colors to this mole after he died. The question is, do moles change after death? Marasava asuya l'shtanis lacha misika, marasava ain't asuya l'shtanis lacha misika. V'ika da'ami, and some say I'm a Rabbi Klai, I'm a Siman Drabbanon. Everyone holds Siman Drabbanon. And why would Rabbi Lazar ben Ma'avai say you could rely on it? Because this is not just a regular Siman. V'hacha, b'shuma, Siman Muvakam. The question is, what about a definitive Siman, a very precise Siman? Marasavar Siman Muvak. Well, Marasavar Lab Siman Muvak. The question is Shuma like this considered a Siman Muvak, that even if Yod Simanim are only Drabanan, this kind of Siman would be biblical? Okay, Marv Rabbeisai, Dav Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. It's not really an easy Amud, but Baruch Hashem, we got through it. And we'll see you tomorrow night, Bez Hashem, Tuesday evening, Dav Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. If anyone has any good ideas for the Siyum, let us know. You know, if we want to rent MetLife Stadium, we have to let them know now. Okay, so just I go for Petco, so.
Miami, though, is a good option.
Miami, Hurricane, Rose Bowl, Cotton Bowl. Okay. Have a good night, everyone. Kol Tov.
Rob, this Gemara reminds me of, there was this guy, they said you can have any wish you want.
Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.